All right, welcome to today's episode of Pipeline Things. If you are not watching the YouTube, this might not make sense. You're also probably wondering why my mouth isn't moving, but you hear my voice.
Are people still not watching the YouTube?
You should watch the YouTube. If you've ever wondered what a new definition of data model looks like, or whether or not some people like data more than anything else in life, you need to listen to today's episode where we sit down with Rick DeZonier from Integra and talk about Integra's new advances at PPIM 23.
And he talks about two growth worlds and naked pipe.
And no, Rick, you can't have a cardboard cutout. They're only for us. Listen to the episode. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to our PPIM 23 ARC, where we are talking to vendors about their technology, the things that you guys are interested in, and we've had multiple guests if you've been on us on this journey. Today is no different. We are sitting here with Rick DeZonier. Rick DeZonier.
Didn't you grow up south of I-10?
I did. I don't think that name came from south of I-10.
Yeah, but you should have some swag in how you say it, though, bro.
Rick DeZonier. Yeah. Does it work? Did I do okay?
That's fine. DeZonier. Yeah.
And Rick is the manager of data science with Integra. And we are super excited to have him as we're going to talk a little bit about some of the exciting stuff that they're doing. But before we get into that, so I talked to some of your colleagues before, and I understand that, you know, a lot of guys in the office used to have, like, pictures, models on their thing. You actually put pictures of data around your wall. That's what gets you
like
going into the day, right?
When you see something really cool, you're like, oh. Yes.
Well, only a couple of pictures.
Okay.
Let's not get carried away. But
only the best pictures up there of data?
The nicest looking pictures.
The best looking pictures.
Best looking data pictures.
I don't want to see two girth welds and nice clean pipe. An operator wants to see it, but I don't.
Two girth welds and nice clean pipe.
Rick.
Oh, wait, you can take that so many ways.
Rick, you did really good. The marketing guy's like, do we need to edit this out now? He's not really sure. And we got started off rocking.
That's awesome. That
so,
is so great.
Rick, we really want to thank you for joining us. And I want you to introduce yourself. Can you tell us about you? Who are you? You're manager of data science for Integra, but beyond that, who is Rick?
Rick is Rick DeZonier, as we all found out in the last few minutes ago. I'm not a city boy, I'm country bumpkin.
Okay.
Been in the inspection business for too long. I think back in the 80s, I was 6 then when I started, so I'm only 40 now.
So no child labor laws.
Okay. Yeah, well, in Canada there is none, so it's good.
I didn't know this. Hey, have we thought about opening up business in Canada?
In Canada?
Yeah.
We've talked about Mexico, but maybe we need to look in Canada.
Yeah, I know, for real.
Hey?
My daughter's looking for a job,
Okay.
How old is she? She's 16?
She's 16.
Oh, okay.
She's a bit late in the game, but, you know.
She learns quick.
Yes. She learns from her papa.
Do you talk data with her?
Is she
interested in data?
Well, she often comes down and asks questions. Dad, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And other than sleeping. And that, I said, that space mark on my forehead is not from the keyboard. But no, I actually had a daughter that did it for a summer job.
Really?
Yes. During COVID, she couldn't find work.
Yeah.
And she needed a job between university years.
Yeah.
And
is she going to stay or is she running for her life?
That's a question. Was she like, what you do is terrible? Or was she like, I love this?
For some reason, she doesn't want to do it again. I don't know if it was the person a meter away from her telling her, stop looking on your phone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm going to tell your mom.
Yeah.
No, that's great.
So I understand. So you didn't actually start with you're a geologist, you told me.
Trade. I was a hard rock geologist looking for gold and silver and diamonds and walking over the tundra and walking over
and now
forest.
He finds diamonds in the data.
That's right.
Oh.
I still find gold.
Diamonds in the rough. Oof.
I still find nuggets.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, I bet you, do you talk to the data? When you're scrolling through, you're like, oh, I'm going to find, do you talk to it? He looks around.
All right, if you are listening and didn't watch the YouTube, you got to watch the YouTube channel to catch the full gist of that joke. Otherwise, you missed it, what Rick was doing
this
there.
This is so good.
It is going to be great. So you know, again, what we see with Integra, so you guys have, I think, three or four papers at PPI.
Yeah, four papers.
Four papers, and you guys are always presenting on things that you're doing with MFL, which is the reason that we wanted to have you on the show. We like to talk about the things that people are talking about. We like to make it relevant to our clients. And we see you guys doing work with pits, see you guys doing work with long seams. Tell us, like, what sorts of new things are you working on, and where does your role fit into that?
Well, I think it's important when you do these papers, it doesn't come over too commercial. Like, obviously, the management and the upper people want
exposure.
Exposure, of course. We understand that.
Yeah.
But to me, it's always about teaching something. Someone walks away going, "Hey, I didn't know that." Yeah. And that's the important thing that I think that I try to strive when I do papers is I try to teach people something that maybe they didn't know.
Yeah.
And being in data science, because I'm not doing data analysis on a daily basis anymore, but I'm constantly combing over data at my own speed. So there's no operator saying, "Where's that report?" I'm looking at data because I'm looking to see what's in there. And when you've seen a lot of stuff, you know, no one's an expert. People just have different experiences. And I think I just have a lot of experiences doing this and doing it at a time when we didn't have computers. And so you physically had to go and touch a T, kiss a valve. You know, you had to do these things because these things were not...
Did that come across clear? Like, was that clear? Touch a T and kiss a valve? Is that right? Okay, let's make sure we said that properly. We want to enunciate.
I'm not sure if I know what that means.
Go ahead.
I didn't mean it any other way.
No, okay, just making sure.
But it's important to have that 3D image, and the 3D image is being out in the field and being in the office. And we don't have that luxury anymore because now everything's so digital that everything is done from a distance on a computer.
Yeah.
And so it's important to have experienced personnel that can instill into others who want to absorb it these things. And I think that's a key discipline that you try to teach people.
So I didn't intend to go here, but now I am, because we're going to open up. Because you said something that's really close to my heart, which is you mentioned actually, you know, putting your eyes on the pipe. So I want to make an assumption. You've seen a lot of defects in the ditch?
Yeah, I actually had the luxury of being stationed in the Middle East in the 90s for months at a time. The family didn't like it too much.
Yeah.
But I was there, you know, 2 or 3 months at a time, and we do a run once a month. And so between those runs, it was Groundhog Day. Everything was the exact same. And so what I did is I just said, well, I'm taking the pickup, and all the pipes were sitting on the sand. None were buried. And so I took the truck, rode along the right away, used the odometer. Okay, I got to go 300 meters, and then I go 300 meters because there's something on my computer. I don't know what it is. I go 300 meters down. I have a T-mic, a wall thickness unit, and I'm just measuring. If I can't find it, I measure it to see what's going on.
Yeah.
And I think that's invaluable stuff to have.
Yeah.
Is having that ability to go and touch the curvature of the pipe, put your hand through a dent. I don't see that dent. I see it. Yeah. So that's what I mean is actually not just using your eyes on a screen, using your eyes and your other senses when you're looking at pipe, because there's some things that are going on you cannot see on a screen.
I heard once someone say this. It was when I was at a serving as an ILI service provider as well, and they were like, MFL tools never lie. If it sees something, there's something. So you have to be able to find it, right?
Yeah. I think the truth of that is, when you eliminate any electronic glitches, and they're very easy detectable, you can see when they occur.
Yeah.
So when they're not there.
Not data artifacts, but true indications.
It may just be hard to prove it's there.
Yeah.
And hard spots is one of those things where you can't see it.
That one wasn't on the list.
Right down top.
Yeah, that one wasn't on the list.
Yeah, no, what I love about what you're saying, Rick, because it's so close to my heart, but this is before I went to Rosen, so that nobody confuses it. I was talking to a data analyst from a vendor, and they were showing me what they'd seen, and they'd never actually seen a dent.
Mm-hmm.
Never laid their hands on a dent. They'd never actually seen a crack. And I realized, like, you're calling all these features, but you don't actually realize what it is.
Yep,
it's in pictures.
Yep.
But you've never put your hands on a 36-inch pipe with a 3 or 4% dent and seen what that looks like, or a ripple, or a wrinkle, or a buckle. And so it seems to me like you had the luxury of getting hands on validation, right? Like, hey, yeah. this is what I'm seeing in the data. What's on the pipe? How do you translate that to, because you're the manager of data science. You said you don't actually do a lot. How do you translate that to the analyst underneath you now?
Well, I luckily over the years, I've managed to keep a lot of documentation of this, documentation and photographs when photographs were photographs.
Yeah.
And
so you break out a picture book?
Yeah.
Is this, so we're saying well,
it just sounds like process control, right? Knowledge transfer and process control.
Yeah, but what I find as you get older, when you're in your 20s and early 30s, what I find is you're trying to attain some knowledge.
Yeah.
When you get into your late 30s and your 40s, you have obtained some knowledge and you're trying to make a special of it for yourself. And then when you get into your early 50s and 50s, now you're looking forward saying, there's a lot less scale on here than it is going backwards. And now you realize, I got to give this to someone because when I was younger, someone gave it to me. And you got to instill that onto others. And I think that is something that is a stage where you're at, is you got to instill that stuff to others.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, and I'm curious, so, and I've had the benefit in full disclosure of working with you before. I've seen you go through data with us, and it really is great because you look at data from a different perspective. As Integra is on the, you know, kind of pushing the boundaries of what you guys are doing with MFL, so things like pits and pits, things like selective seam wall corrosion, you said hard spots, maybe even material verification. Help us understand, and the audience understand, at Integra, do you guys, is it a thing where you're so deep in the data, you're like, guys, I think we can see this, and I think we can do this? Or do y'all sit around a conference room table and say, you know what, let's make the data do this? How does that tension
kind of work? Talk about the process and how you get your solutions.
The processes that I will go through are more practical.
Yeah.
You know, engineers are very good in theory, theoretical. And I think that's what makes Integra different is, when we built our product, we didn't build it based solely on engineering. And engineering and software going, here, analyst, work with this. When that tool was built, we had the luxury of having experienced analysts going, okay, you don't want to do that because that's going to affect us doing this.
Yeah.
So we didn't get things shoved down our throat.
Yeah, it was managing the output.
It was a cooperation between the two groups to build a product. And the people that are building the product, they are building that product with 30 years of experience. Even though Integra is 7 years old, we have people that have been building electronically and mechanically these tools for 30 years. So they know how to build the tools.
Yeah.
And then you have people that over 30 years have been analyzing data. And so there's that constant discussion about, well, theoretically this should work. And then that's where we step in and go, that's not going to work, or yeah, that's perfect. And we've had past lives where we've done this for other companies, and we saw things where we go, you know what? We can't change it here because it's too big of a mountain to climb. But you know, if I ever do this again, I'm going to do this.
And you remember those things.
Right, and that's one of the things that we've had been able to do when we started CPIG. The same thing, we realized where our weakness was. We designed something. We were the first ones to come out with a combo tool, MFL Cal.
Yeah.
And then now the paradigm that we're trying to shift now is, yes, we realize Axial MFL tools are not for every single type of seam flaw that exists.
Sure.
But they can probably nail 80% of the issues that clients have with seam flaws.
Yeah.
So so things usually work from a proactive stage where I will, you know, or someone in our group will go, hey, you know, can we do this? Or I think we can do this because I've seen this. And we comb over dig results constantly.
Yeah.
And part of it is a bit selfish because, yeah, we need to give the client back a report on how the tool did. But the other is, I need better pictures because I'm seeing something else that picture never took. And do you have another picture that just goes to the right a bit more? Because I want to see what's going on there. And the discussions that us three had with the client.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of discussions are very important.
Yeah.
And you sitting there, and, you know, I don't have to see the data sets, but I can see you, you know, looking at the screen and then looking at our screen and going, you know, this is crazy. I mean, I can read both.
Yep.
And that's my life. That's what I do, is I look at data and try to find similarities between data sets and come up with these things.
So performing analysis.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So not just running through some algorithm or some routine, but performing an analysis.
Yeah, because there is a team that's doing the day-to-day stuff because we have to push out reports.
Yeah.
But that's not my job to push out reports. My job is to put out fires if they pop up, is to talk about any special things that we can develop. What do we need to change in the tool if we were to be able to do this?
So it sounds like to me, like, so you're telling me you don't just deliver a report and walk away?
Well, it's definitely not educated that way to the data analyst, because I think it's very important. There's a whole process inside vendors.
Yeah.
You got to have the sales to get the jobs. Yeah. You got to have the engineering to build the tools.
Yeah.
You got to have the operation crews to run the tools.
First one success.
And then you got to have the DA to create the report.
Yeah.
But really, to me, for the operator, the wheels hit the road when they get that document saying you got this in your pipeline.
Yeah.
And now that's when the time starts ticking for them.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's when it's very important, and that's when the operator needs most assistance.
Yeah.
And I think that is key, is getting involved with operators. And sometimes you gotta, they're the client, you gotta take a step back, and you only can be invited when they ask you to come invited.
Yeah.
You can give a few good responses
on
occasion.
And that's pretty dynamic, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Some customers are more needy than others, others are maybe more hands-off.
Yeah, and I think needy sounds, to me,
Chris is needy. I use it for him a lot.
Yeah, and
it's
I think what people need is they don't have the experience to, and maybe they just realize, oh, we got some lines that are now they have to be inspected.
Yeah.
What's MEOP mean? What does that have to do? You know, you get these questions. You do.
Rick came alive, man.
I think we need to take a break.
And that is actually because I want to pick back up on your role and the analyst role and some of those processes in that feedback loop. It's really important. But we're going to hear from BJ and Ben, our sponsors at PPIM, before we come right back. Thank you.
BJ Lowe here, Clarion Technical Conferences. And if it's February, it must be PPIM. We're here, that's right, for the 35th time in Houston, Texas, starting in 1989, and here we are in 2023 with another record-breaking turnout for the world's largest pipeline technology-related event. We've got almost 3,500 people coming for 4 or 5 days, almost 200 companies exhibiting on the trade show floor, another sellout. Not too early to begin thinking about 2024. We sell out around June or July, so clarion.org is where you go to sign up, and we hope you can join us for the next conference if you're not here this year. Another big part of the conference is our training and education program, which takes place on the Monday and Tuesday of the week. And this year we have 8 really, really great courses, world-class instructors, and almost 300 people showing up for these specialized courses on different aspects of pipeline integrity technology. I'm here with Ben Stroman, my colleague at Clarion. Hey, Ben, what's
up? Hey, doing good. Always happy to be here because it's, as we say, it's PPIM season. It's February. So I would like to remind everybody that we also have a very specialized technical conference that's associated with PPIM. And this year, I'm proud to say that we have the largest conference program that we've ever had. It has 94 technical papers that were chosen from a large selection of submissions that were very high quality. So we're very pleased to be putting on these 94 papers during the week. I'd also like to mention that we do have online training if you aren't able to make it to PPIM each year. We present online training throughout the year. You can check more of that out at clarion.org. And we hope to see you in one way or another, online or in person. And if you're not here at the 35th version of PPIM, I hope you're here at the 36th.
Definitely.
All right, welcome back. Thanks. Second String Sarah, keeping us on track with time. We appreciate it. I'm sorry, I had to fit in the joke there since Ms. Producer can't be with us. So we're here with Rick Desonier. I said it quicker that time. We've been talking about his background and what Integra's doing different. And so I want to dive in now. You guys have a paper on long seam assessments.
Yep.
And that's long seam assessments with MFLA, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Rick, I would like you to help us understand, because that's an area that a lot of people are challenged by, right? Traditionally, we've said MFLA can't or shouldn't do stuff with long seams. So how is it that Integra is pushing the boundaries on that?
And I think with the tool, we've coined the tool UHR, ultra high resolution, and I know that terminology is used by others, but
sure,
we termed that for a reason. When it comes to detecting the long seam, that's the most important thing. You got to detect the seam, and pretty well everyone detects flash welded and double submerged. They have excess relief, you know, the extra thickness on the pipe. It's the ERW one really that is the trickier one to determine. And luckily ERW is usually on smaller diameter pipe. It doesn't venture above 24 too much, but on the smaller diameter side. So you have to have ability to detect and have a high confidence of detecting that seam.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. And that's what we recognize right away, is we have a high confidence of detecting the seam with the UHR tool. And when we detect that seam, now we're starting to see anomalies. And if you got pinhole anomalies, or you have anomalies that are rather small or contained within the seam, then it leads you down another path.
Yeah.
Because when you have corrosion is, unlike if it's not selective seam, corrosion will be in the seam, but also will penetrate into the body of the pipe. Where selective seam kind of stuff stays within the seam.
Yeah.
It uses that bounce. So we can see that difference between that. And traditionally, people have always said, don't use AMFL for reporting anomalies on the seam.
Yeah.
And you got to remember that the tool, the UHR tool, is seeing the seam, ERW, flash weld, whatever, you're seeing it with all the sensor types.
Okay.
So not just the primary MFL, you're seeing it with the caliper sensors.
Okay.
You're seeing it with the IDOD sensors.
Okay.
So you got that redundancy of having that ability, and that's very important, because you could have flaws that may not show up very well in the data, or you have a seam type.
Yeah.
So seam identification. Low frequency, high frequency, for example.
Different signatures.
Well, those signatures will look different in one of the three channels. And that's how you're telling the difference. Oh, look.
For discrimination.
That's,
so that leads us to not just detection, but identification.
Yes. So that's POD, POI, which is important when it comes to seam. So, and that's not being done right now by anyone. Even transverse MFL tools, they're not labeling the seam type. They're going with Mr. Opper, Mr. Operator. You're calling it this? Okay, I'm going to run with that.
Seam identification.
Because the hardest thing is to tell an operator, that's not, this,
what
that
you
is this.
Think is not that.
Yeah, and we have to explain to them and into detail, and you go into data and say, these marks here are here because of this thing, that's why it's not this. So you're getting that distinction with the tool to see that. Now, experience does help, you know?
Sure.
Where you've seen a lot of different seam types, you've seen a lot of different seam flaws.
Situate back to your expertise, your experiences, some of experiences.
Yeah, experience always helps out when it comes to looking at flaws that you have seen in the past.
I want to ask a little bit of a side question. I mean, so that's system specific, right? I mean, that's your experience with your UHR system, right? I mean, that's very much intrinsic to the value prop that y'all offer of the combination of your tool and your analysis process, right? That can't be universally said as it's, oh, well, Rick said you can use MFL-A for long seam assessments, right? This is very much y'all's special sauce, your tool, your analysis process enables operators this way.
All I can talk about is what we can do.
Sure.
And, you know, and I whatever someone else is selling to the operator, that's
selling. Remember that?
You know,
he said there's a process,
but
sales, operations, but, evaluation.
But for me, it's. I mean, I have no problem.
Well, I think what he's trying to do, Rick, and it's important from this standpoint. Operators don't often see a lot of times. They just see MFL, right? And so, if somebody says MFL can do X, I think what you're bringing out is that MFL. In your application, with your experience, and with your analysis, can do X. All that stuff you mentioned before, where you had analysts feeding into the development of the tools, plays a role in whether or not MFL can do that. Like, you can't just take, hey, you know what? I mean, Integra said we could do it, so let's run technology Y, and we expect them to do what Integra does.
It's just a caution, right?
Way.
It's a point of caution.
Yeah, right. Like I say, I think Integra with their UHR tools, we developed them, like I said, we developed them from an engineering and a DA perspective to develop them.
And by DA, you mean data analysis.
Right.
Not direct assessment.
Right. By data analysis, we directed that tool to a certain place to be because we knew from historical findings that this design works better when you do this.
And it's interesting to me because what you did is you started with the end user of the data, but not the end user being the client, the end user being
data
analysis. Analyst,
yes.
And said, hey, what would help you do your job better?
And
that is unique.
Yeah, and you know very well, working for some of the former companies, that came from engineering down. They designed something.
It can, absolutely.
And here it is for you to use.
Yeah.
And then you have to use it.
So I want to maybe switch directions just a little bit here. So if you're able to detect and identify long seams, then talk to us a little bit about y'all's ability to help operators with populations and the process of material verification. Yeah.
You guys working on that front?
Oh, we currently do several jobs with clients in that particular
space. Yeah.
Principle. And it's very important when you're doing material identification, it's not just pipe grade. It is diameter, which is pretty simple if it's a single diameter line, but it's diameter,
yeah.
It is wall thickness, it is seam type, and it is pipe grade.
Yeah.
So Rick, those four parameters make a difference.
As these problems come to you, I'm curious. So does somebody approach you and they say, hey, we want to identify long seam, and you're like, whoa, I've been doing this for 20 years, that can't be done. Or is it kind of collaborative, right? I'm curious, like the subject of long seams with MFLA, which most people would say can't be done. How did that conversation or how did that process evolve within Integra? Was that a thing where you're like, look, from a dataless perspective, I think we can do this? Or were clients pushing you? Was it market driven? Was it data driven?
I think it was data driven because if I left the engineers design something, they would have built a nice tool, but it wouldn't.
Well, who knows if it would have worked?
Who's aren't engineers?
It would have.
He's
worked.
Not an engineer. He's a geologist, right? So I mean, we totally understand that.
So, but it's a collaborative effort. It's not one over strong in the other. Like we'll have some ideas, and of course they'll say we can't make a square tool, Rick.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, whatever the case may be.
So
they will step in when there's something that's obvious.
So let's talk about that, right? So for long seam, you said detection is first and then you can identify it, right? I think for me, when we think about these whole populations, right, if I was to rank order them, you would say, diameter is probably the easiest, right?
Yeah.
Then you'd probably go along and say wall thickness is probably the next one.
There's
some analysis required, some algorithms, but that's probably the next one using MFL and caliper. Next, I'd probably say it'd be long seam as feasible, right? Because you're saying you can detect it, therefore you can then identify it. And then if you've got, you know the diameter, you know the wall thickness, and you know the pipe type, then you can begin to understand what are the possible grades, right? Because that's how pipe was made.
Yeah.
So when you say grade, talk to us a little about how you're getting there. I feel like I kind of roadmapped it, but I want to hear it from you.
Yeah, well, to get to grade, you have to go through the other three.
Yeah.
It's very important. You have to go through the other three because that's going to make a distinction. But there's a lot of other things going on in the background that you're doing on the fly as you're doing grade determination.
Yeah.
You look at the manufacturer, because we have found by looking at different manufacturers, certain things are appearing in this on the data that we're seeing are telltale signs of this.
Yeah, so your tool has a response to certain materials, and you're capturing that and saying, now I know this signature.
And we may not understand why all the time that
the
response is happening,
there.
But you know, with this American Steel Pipeline Company, they always producing this. We see this
So
in the data.
It's the response of your technology.
Yeah, so that's what it is. It's basically we just align a bunch of fingerprints with the UARCH tool, looking to align all the different things that we're seeing, and then they kind of fit into categories. And then we look over those in the categories and say, it could
so
even.
So it's like, the way this works is it's like Rick's picture book, and it's like a mugshot. Somebody puts it on the screen,
that
and Rick
one.
Breaks out the picture book, and they're like, I think it's operator 607. It's like a mugshot right there.
Well, keep in mind, I know we're joking about Rick and Rick and Rick, and really it's really the team and Rick.
What we understand is you're the manager, right?
Yep.
And so the idea is you're representing the team. So that's the clarification.
So we got a few, just a little bit in our last few moments. Anything you can share? What's coming down the pipe for Integra, man? What makes you excited about the future?
Well, I you know.
And the presidential election doesn't count.
Okay. How about the Canadian election? No? Okay.
I don't know anything. Is that Justin Trudeau? Is that who it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let's not go there. We'll
back to technical stuff.
We'll keep politics.
Back to technical stuff. Land that plane.
Yes. So I think there's a lot of exciting things, and I think one of the things is now clients are recognizing we have that ability to do those things, and now there's more sharing. Before it was, you know, looking on the clipboard that they're hiding from you.
Yeah.
But now clients are realizing, wait a minute, they do have these abilities, and it's got to be more of a team effort. It always should be a team effort.
It should always be a team effort.
If they have an engineering firm working on the side, they should be able to work with the different parties to get to the same solution.
Data integration is fundamental.
Yeah,
right? And I would say collaboration. He's singing the love language of collaboration, man. With an operator, you don't. An operator should never work with an ILI vendor like they're trying to prove them wrong. Like I always used to tell people, the reason data analysts are so guarded is because half the time you only call them if they're wrong.
Yeah.
You got to call your data analyst.
When am I going to get my report and why did you call this?
Why are you
it was wrong.
Or you called this, you realize where that is?
Yeah.
You better change that call.
Are you sure?
Are you GPS
well, not change
right?
the call. Oh, yeah. Make sure you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That's true.
So good. Well, I tell you what, Rick, we've really appreciated having you on. Thank you so much for joining us and talking a little bit about what Integra is doing.
Everybody knows how to reach you, so if y'all have got any questions,
you're looking for Rick DeZonye. I said it quicker every time I've said it
you
now.
You got better.
And thank you for joining us at PPIM 23. And to our audience out there, if you want to find Rick or Integra or any of the papers they published at PPIM, you can be on the lookout. They've got four of them there. Highly recommend you take a look at them. Thanks, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
I have a question about, do I get a cutout of myself later? is that coming? That can be shipped to me?
Second string Sarah, we can talk about a cutout for Integra.
It's
not me.
His signature. I want him.
I thought I ended the show. Can we end the show, second string Sarah?